The American Forum of the Air, the National Broadcasting Company, presents America's oldest unrehearsed discussion program, founded and moderated by Theodore Granick. The American Forum of the Air is dedicated to the full and public debate of all sides of all issues vital to you and your country. This afternoon, you will hear a discussion on the topic, Are Women Changing Our Party Alignments? Here with us to discuss this subject are Mrs. Charles Brannan, president of the District Democratic Women's Clubs, and Mrs. Carol D. Carnes, president of the National Federation of Republican Women. But before the debate begins, here are two questions. Would you make an investment in your country if that investment didn't cost you a single penny? Would you donate a few minutes of your time to make certain that future military and civilian emergencies are met? Of course you would. Then, first thing tomorrow, call your local Red Cross chapter and arrange to give a pint of your blood. You see, blood is needed to care for our injured and wounded, and to build an adequate supply of plasma for any unforeseen military or civilian need. Please remember that the only source of this life-giving fluid is you, the people of America. Very often, a pint of blood means the difference between life and death. Giving that pint of blood costs you nothing but a few minutes of your time. The satisfaction received after giving a pint of blood more than repays you for those minutes spent. So roll up your sleeves, America. Roll up your sleeves and give that pint of blood. Call your local Red Cross chapter and make an appointment tomorrow. Now, here is the moderator and founder of the American Forum of the Air, Theodore Granick.
The 52 elections will long be remembered as the one in which more Americans voted than ever before. Nearly 60 million at the polls. Now, where are these new votes coming from? Just what part did women play in deciding the last election? Washington has been buzzing with inaugural activities by many of these women who played important roles in the election. The National Federation of Republican Women, at their convention, have elected as president Mrs. Carol Kearns, wife of the congressman from Pennsylvania. We're happy that she and Mrs. Charles Brannan, wife of the Secretary of Agriculture and president of the Women's National Democratic Club, are with us today to discuss the issue, Are Women Changing Our Party Alignments? We have also invited a distinguished studio audience of prominent colleagues and associates of the speakers. They will participate with vital and provocative questions. And Mrs. Brannan, do you think that women were responsible for electing General Eisenhower?
Well, Mr. Granick, I think women have been playing an ever larger role in politics and public life during these past 20 years. In 1933, President Roosevelt broke tradition by appointing Mrs. Perkins to his cabinet. President Truman appointed more than 40 women to key posts in government, including ambassadors, ministers, federal judges, and many others to important posts. Women have played a vital role in the struggle for world peace. Mrs. Roosevelt has been rightly called the First Lady of the World for her fine work in the United Nations, and many Republican women also have worked very hard in this field. As a result of these forward steps, more and more women will rise to positions of leadership in both political parties in the future. Women were more active, I believe, in the recent elections than ever before. This is good. It is something we should all encourage. It will be a powerful factor in raising the moral and spiritual level of politics and of the political campaigns. I do not believe that the political alignment of the two major parties, as far as the women were concerned, has been changed. In other words, I do not believe that many women who were convinced Democrats during the past two decades have changed because of any enlightened policies and have become convinced Republicans. And I think the election in November was not fundamentally a Republican victory. The Republican convention did not choose a regular Republican as its candidate. It passed over Mr. Dewey and Mr. Taft and Mr. Stassen and some of those people and selected a popular hero, a man who until recently had given no indication as to whether he was a Democrat or Republican.
I'll come back to you, Mrs. Kearns.
Well, all right, I'll want to finish
it. Would you want to answer that question, the one I asked? Do you think women were responsible for electing General Eisenhower?
Well, first of all, Mr. Brannick, I want to say for the women of America of both parties, I want to express our appreciation to you for this recognition that you are giving for the part women played in this election. And to answer your question, most certainly the women of America played a most important role in the winning of this election.
Mrs. Branagh, you want to continue?
I've agreed to that, Miss Curtis.
Do you feel more women voted for the Republican platform, or do you feel it was the personality of the general which captured their votes, Mr. Branagh?
Well, I think I was leading into that when I had to stop. I think this has been confirmed by the highly significant fact that Democratic members of the House of Congress received an aggregate of a total of 230,000 more votes than the Republican opponents in Congress. And a majority of the people voted for General Eisenhower not because they wanted an old-fashioned Republicanism, but because of his promises, either direct or implied, that he would promptly solve the Korean conflict, lower taxes, reduce the cost of living, and wipe out some of the traces of corruption in government.
We hear from Mrs. Kearns on that.
All right, Mr. Granick. I believe that what she says has very little significance in the question for this reason. Mr. Eisenhower ran on the Republican platform throughout the United States. Moreover, the difference in vote, the variance in vote between the Congress and Mr. Eisenhower on a nationwide spread was very little. It was a minimum, actually. And also because local conditions enter into that picture very, very much. Perhaps a voting record of a particular individual or personalities of particular individuals through the country. And also because in many southern states there were no Republican candidates in the field.
Mrs. Brown, you want to comment on that?
Well, I think that the people decided that they would give General Eisenhower a chance to do the things that he promised to do during the campaign. And I'm confident that if he can accomplish these objectives, he can count also on the whole-souled cooperation of the 27 million people in the Democratic Party who voted for Adlai Stevenson. But I still disagree. There has been no fundamental alignment, any shift of women away from the Democratic Party and into the Republican Party.
You feel there's been a change, Mrs. Kearns?
If you are going to determine the alignment of the parties according to the result of the election, there has been a definite alignment with the Republican Party. In other words, who won the election? That answers the question right there, because the alignment is now a Republican with a Republican victory.
Well, do you feel that the general has adequately awarded Republican women with appointments and posts for their contribution to his victory?
The time is very short, but I know that he has recognized women very much by word and by appointment, and I'm sure that he is going to do so to a greater measure.
Did you want to comment? I see a question from our audience. We'll take the question. Go ahead, please, if you will.
I'm Mrs. Joseph Farrington, immediate past president of the National Federation of Republican Women and from Hawaii. I'd like to direct my question to Mrs. Brannan. Mrs. Brannan, if the Korean War is over by the campaign of 1954 and our boys are permanently at home, what do you think the Democrats can do to win back the votes of the women that they lost on that issue in the election of 1952?
Well, Mrs. Farrington, it is my hope, of course, that the Democrats would not use Korea as a campaign issue in the forthcoming elections, but that they would attempt to inform the American people about this basic conflict between communism and the free peoples of the world.
Mrs. Kearns, would you care to comment on the question and the answer?
Well, it cannot be denied, as is so obvious from the results of this last election, that no party can be successful unless it offers candidates and a program which will attract the vote of the women. Women are good buyers. Everyone knows that most advertising is directed to them. In this last election, the voters in this country voted against the things the Democratic Party offered and was continuing to offer, and the majority of the registered voters were women. We know that they voted against the hopelessness of the Korean War, the extravagance and corruption in government, and the failure to deal with communist infiltration.
Well, Mrs. Kearns, do you feel that the general statement before election that he'd go to Korea helped to capture the votes of a lot of American mothers?
I think it helped to reaffirm what they already believed, that he could do something about the Korean situation that had not been done to date.
Did you want to comment on that, Mrs. Brannan?
Yes, I will, sir. I'm afraid the women did not vote their convictions. I think they voted their emotions.
Take another question from the audience. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
I am Mrs. Sullivan, Congresswoman from Missouri, and my question is for Mrs. Kearns.
Yes, Mrs. Sullivan.
The Democratic Party has initiated and put into effect the social gains that we have today. In spite of strong and bitter opposition of the Republican leaders in Congress. These social gains were supported by the women of the country. Now, Ms. Kearns, do you think that the Republican leadership will change their stand on social gains, such as Social Security and the rural electrification, soil and water conservation? Do you think that they're going to change their stand on that they've taken these past 20 years?
I think you have to differentiate between social gains and socialism in government. And the women of America have never supported the socialistic trends in government. But every woman, I believe, supports social betterment.
Mrs. Brandon, would you care to comment on that?
I believe that the women, Democrat or Republican, believe in the social gains that have been achieved during the past 20 years under the Democratic administrations, and that the women will be very greatly disappointed if the Republicans act like they've been talking the past few years.
Mrs. Kearns, would you want to answer that? Or should we take another? You want to answer that?
I'm ready to let that go by. I don't think particularly
I don't think that Social Security and old age pension and so on are socialistic. They're
I didn't
social
talk
gains.
About those. I think some of the other factors, though, are trends towards socialistic government. I distinguish between social betterment and socialism in government.
Would you want to elaborate a little bit, Mrs. Brandon?
I think we can come back to that.
All right. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
I'm Mrs. Roy T. Bishop, the National Federation of Republican Women. My question is addressed to Mrs. Brannan. Mrs. Brannan, what have the Democrats to offer the women in the campaigns of 1954 and 1956?
Ms. Bishop, I think a very great deal. I think the Democratic Party can offer a great record of public service to farmers, to small businessmen, and even to big businessmen, to labor, to the aged, and to the world.
Mrs. Kearns, how about that?
Will you repeat your question, Mrs. Bishop, please?
What will the Democrats have to offer the women of this country in the campaign years of 1954 and 1956?
Well, I think they'll offer them pretty much what they have offered them in the past, as I would see it. And that was not satisfactory to the women, as evident in this last election. They did not buy the package again. In other words, they are more discriminating. They don't buy by the label, they buy by the contents. And they were not willing to purchase the contents of what they offered.
Mrs. Brannan.
Well, a lot of the things that were offered, they weren't at all sure of, were they? As I said earlier in my statement, I think that this promise to go to Korea with the implication that there would be a quick, short, and honorable settlement there was something that was sold to them.
Mrs. Kearns?
I believe the women believed that General Eisenhower can do something about the Korean situation, and they were willing to take a chance that he could.
Well, he's been there.
That's right, and we all hope, of course, that it will bring peace.
Well, Ms. Kearns, you feel the Republicans will be able to hold the ladies' vote in future elections?
I believe that if the Republican administration carries on a performance that is satisfactory to the women, that in 1952 they will remain in power, and the same in 1954, and that is a challenge to the Republican Party. If they do not proceed as they have indicated that they would and carry out the promises that they have made, then they may not be able to retain the power.
What's the general going to do about the high taxes he promised to lower?
Well, that is all in the legislative program that is to be presented to the Congress and worked out with the Congress, but I am certain all indications are that the taxes can be lowered.
I think he originally said around $30 billion, but now we have the indication that the word's gone out, don't look for much reduction, if any, from some time to come.
Well, we can't take it on the word. We have to see it and establish it by the fact in the weeks to come.
Let's hear from another lady in the audience. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
I'm Katie Locke. I'm alternate National Committee Woman for the district. My question is for Mrs. Kearns. It's on the subject you were just discussing, only I'd like to tackle it from the point of view of reducing the budget, the promised cuts that General Eisenhower and other Republican campaigners made. I'm sure persuaded a great many women to vote for him. I believe the round figure used was $10 billion. Now, in the recent budget presented by President Truman, The figure for defense and veterans benefits and interest on the debt is $68 billion, which is all but within $10 billion of the $78 billion budget. That leaves $10 billion only for other expenses. Now, where, I would like to ask, Mrs. Kearns, do the Republican women feel that these vital cuts of $10 billion can be made?
All right. I can prove to you, or I can call to your attention, a fact that in the 80th Congress, taxes were reduced, and it seemed an impossible situation. Nevertheless, the Republicans were able to reduce taxes in that Congress. And they are going over things very, very carefully, and the indications are that they will be able to reduce the taxes.
Did you want to comment?
Well, shortly. You know, the Republicans ignored the fact that under the Democratic administration, the people had far more buying power left after taxes than they had in the Republican administrations before taxes. They ignored the fact, for example, that under Roosevelt and Truman, the people had more money left after taxes than they had before the taxes under these other administrations, and their taxes were used for more in the interest of all the people.
Mrs. Kearns is bubbling with an answer. Go ahead.
Well, to begin with, I think that some of that is only paper money. That is only inflationary. But in addition, the people who had more money of whatever kind it was in their pockets, that is not because of the Democratic administration necessarily. You ask any working man, and he admits and he agrees that he earned that money, that is not because of political gift. That's what he earned, was coming to him.
In a moment, we will continue with questions after this interesting message.
You don't prepare for an emergency after it happens, especially when you're pretty sure in advance that it's going to happen. The past 5 years have been record years of polio emergencies and epidemics. The 1952 polio scourge was the worst of all. There's no reason to believe that infantile paralysis won't reach emergency proportions again this year. Well, the time to prepare for that emergency is now. The time to join the 1953 March of Dimes is now, before the season when polio always strikes hardest. Your National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis will be equipped to handle the emergency, provided you support the March of Dimes more generously this year than the year before. If you've put off joining, do it tomorrow. Think of a crippled child who needs your help. Think of your own child, and send your dimes and dollars to your local March of Dimes headquarters. Here again is Theodore Granick.
Back to our studio audience for another question from another charming lady. Go ahead, ma'am, please.
I'm Mabel Walker Willebrand, attorney and lifelong Republican. I'd like to address a question to Mrs. Brannon. Believing, as I believe, both Democratic and Republican women do, on a full partnership of men and women in government, what, in your opinion, is the best way to bring about that partnership? By the appointment of a few women to high or spectacular offices, like cabinet office, ambassadorships, or by an integration of an assistant cabinet officer as a full participation in each of the executive, a full assistant cabinet officer in each of the executive branches of government.
Mrs. Brannon.
Well, of course, I'd encourage women along that line. I think in my opening statement I agreed with you on that point. And the two past Democratic administrations have a very fine record to show on that point. President Truman has appointed more women to high public office, I think, than anyone in office. And I think it would be a very encouraging thing to have more women who are qualified to come into the government and come along with the Democratic idea that we've started.
Mrs. Kearns, how about that?
I agree with that. I think that we should have more women participate in government, qualified women, of course, as Mrs. Brannon stated.
All right, we'll take another question. Go ahead, please.
I'm India Edwards, Vice Chairman of the Democratic National Committee. I wanted to ask Mrs. Kearns if she thought that most Republican women agreed with the distinguished senator from Maine, Margaret Chase Smith. It was reported in the paper Saturday that she said that she felt that it would have been better if the president-elect had appointed a woman of his own party rather than Ovita Kulphabi, a Democrat, to the highest post that he has named a woman to so far, Federal Security Administrator. Of course, if I might just add parenthetically, the Democratic women were very proud that the president-elect reached over into the Democratic ranks and picked one of their number to sit in at his cabinet meetings. But how do you think Republican women as a whole feel about that?
Mrs. Kearns.
Mrs. Edwards, I think that Mr. Eisenhower picked a highly qualified woman to fill that post. I believe that it is direct proof that the women are changing the party alignment.
Did you want to come back, or did you want to answer, Miss?
Well, she's still a Democrat, though, isn't she?
Did you want to continue? Did you have another question, Mrs. Edwards?
Well, and I agree that Mrs. Hobby certainly worked for the Republicans in this election. There's no question about that. But she's been a Democrat a good deal longer than she's been a Republican. But my point is not that. My point is that there were many qualified Republican women passed over. And as I gather from what I read about Senator Smith's remarks, that was her feeling, that Republican women who were just as well qualified were passed over.
I believe that there is a law in Texas relative to voting in the primary, voting for a candidate. And if a person makes known that he or she has voted for a Republican candidate in the election for 6 months, that person is then registered as a Republican. Therefore, Mrs. Hobby is actually, by technicality, a Republican of Texas.
Let's hear from another lady in the audience. Go ahead. You have a question, ma'am, please.
Mrs. Ruth Jeffries, Vice President of the Executive Board, the National Federation of Republican Women.
Do you want to comment on the technical Republican?
I am from Arizona.
I see.
My question is directed to Mrs. Kearns. Since women now realize their vote can control elections, government has entered the home in a more personal way than ever before. Is it only logical to deduct that women will expect the ideals of their homes to dominate to a greater degree in government?
The ideals of the home have always dominated in government when women have had a voice in government. And in so far as women are predominating in numerical strength and exercise their voting privilege, that is true.
Do you feel or don't you feel that most women vote the way their husbands tell them to, or is it vice versa?
No, I don't, and I believe that was definite in this last election that women did not vote the way their husbands told them to, and on the contrary, they are responsible for the husbands voting as they voted in many cases, which was Republican.
So I just led with my chin for that. I knew what the answer would be. Did you want to answer?
Well, of course, I agree that both men and women had a lot to do with this election. That total vote proves that. But I don't agree that the men or the women dictated to each other. I think their emotions had a lot to do with this election.
We'll take another question. Go ahead, please. Commissioner Hannock.
I'm Freda Hannock of the Federal Communications Commission, and I address my question to Mrs. Kearns. Mrs. Kearns, it is generally admitted that the United Nations Charter was so promptly ratified by the United States Senate because of the study the women of America made of the Dumbarton-Oaks Agreement and the United Nations Charter, and the almost solid support of the women of the country for the United Nations. Now, the United Nations is coming up for reexamination by the Senate. I wonder whether the Republican women of this country will assume the leadership in seeing to it that the United Nations will continue.
I can only say this, that when the women supported the United Nations, they did it not because they thought that it was a cure-all or because they thought it was satisfactory in every way, but I'm sure that they had great faith and hope, and it seemed to be the best way to solve the problems that were facing that. Women are good merchandisers, and insofar as they feel that the United Nations has fulfilled its purpose, they will support it. I think it is actually very controversial among the women today, and that is up to them to decide.
I wish we had more time for questions. Did you want to answer that before we go into summary?
I'd like to. I'll bring it into my conclusion if I don't have time now.
All right, go into your summary, Mrs. Kearns, if you will.
If the performance of the new Republican administration and its program during the next 4 years is satisfactory, the voters, 51% of whom are women, will continue to vote for the Republican Party. That is the challenge to the party in power. And if the Republicans win again in 1954 and in 1956, certainly we cannot escape the conclusion that the realignment has been continued and that the women voters in the country have played a major role in it. As women, we make no extravagant claim in the absence of complete and accurate statistics that women alone won the election. However, the very least that can be said is that except for the women's vote for the victorious candidates, the other party would have won. Hence, the women played a most significant role in the outcome of the election.
Thank you, Mrs. Curran. Mrs. Browning.
I'll hurry,
please.
Because my time is short.
Sorry,
I think that on the matter of the United Nations, if the Republican Party fails in any way to carry on what's been established, both in the League of Nations way back there and the United Nations now, we're all in for a lot of trouble. And my conclusion, I can find no evidence that women are changing either the party structure of the country or their own party choices. It is plain that many women who voted for Eisenhower did not vote Republicanism in the usual sense of the word. They did not vote for Republican record of obstruction. Eisenhower had no part in building that record. They did not vote against the Democratic record of achievement, the general promise to continue practically every problem that the Democrats have started. And they did not vote to take the power of government away from themselves and turn it over to big business in the traditional sense at all. Anyone who thinks that women have deserted the Democratic Party or the ideals is due for a rude awakening. The women of America still believe in the Democratic Party's ideal of government of, by, and for the people, not a government of, by, and for an elite corps.
Thank you very much, ladies. Our speakers have been Mrs. Charles Brannan and Mrs. Carol Kearns. This is Theodore Granick bidding you goodbye from Washington. Thank you.